This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كما إن أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا صدق الله العظيم. We had concluded verse number 44 and that wrapped up the discussion of the two brothers, companions, etc. And the evil outcome of the arrogant, the obstinate, the disbeliever. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا. And Allah is the best in reward and Allah is the best in the end. In Jalalain it is written, أَفْضَلُ مَنْ يُرْجَى ثَوَابُهُ. Allah is the best in whom you can invest your hopes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never disappoint you. وَعَاقِبَةُ طَاعَتِهِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَاقِبَةِ طَاعَةِ غَيْرِهِ. Wow. وَعَاقِبَةُ طَاعَتِهِ. And the outcome of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always better than the outcome of obeying anyone else. So if I can accommodate someone else without infringing and encroaching on the disobedience of Allah, so be it. But if the prerequisite of obliging and acceding to someone else infringes on the laws and the injunctions and the tenets of Islam, then that is the line I draw. That is the line I draw. Was it not Aisha radiallahu anha who wrote a letter to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? Brief, short, concise, comprehensive, yet voluminous. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِمَسَاخِتِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ بِمَسَاخِتِ اللَّهِ. The one who disobeys Allah, يَصِرْ حَمِدُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ ذَمَّنْ لَهُ. Those who praise him today will end up criticizing him one day. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And that was the end of the letter. So, عَاقِبَةُ طَاعَتِهِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عَاقِبَةِ طَاعَةِ غَيْرِهِ. Obeying Allah, the outcome is always good. And obeying others at the cost of disobeying Allah. Obeying others at the cost of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consequences of that will be grave. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, amongst the signs of Qiyamah, وَأَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ وَعَقَّ أُمَّهُ وَأَدَّنَا صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ. That a person will draw his friend close to him, and he will distance his father. He will take more pride in his association with his colleagues, with his peers, with his associates, and he will not take pride in identifying himself with his father. And unfortunately, that has become the reality of today. So in Tanwir al-Adhan, just a quick synopsis, that اعلم أن هذه القصة مشتملة على فوائد. This tale, this narrative, which we concluded on verse 44 about the two brothers, conveys to us many lessons, Number one, the harm of shirk, that if you have shirk and polytheism and disbelief and hubbud dunya, the love of this world, then this will result in the destruction of this world and the latter. Even if outwardly it might secure you and give you some mileage, recognition in this world, that's a transitory phase. It is for a short stint. And this will end, and after that, it is خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And of course, if you have iman and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will secure you the goodness of both the worlds. I must qualify one statement here. When we talk of حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا, the love of this world, and this features quite often and common and repeated in the nusus, in the text, then the scholars explain to us very beautifully that it is not the sheer love or the sheer attachment to material things that is disliked or deplorable or detestable in the eyes of the Almighty, but it becomes problematic when your love for these material, mundane things surpass your love for Allah. When you love the things of this world more than Allah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 10th juz of the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah, that وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِسَالَةٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If your homes, your dwellings, your degrees, your family are more beloved to you than Allah, that's the time it's a problem. And when will you identify what is more beloved? At the time of conflict of interest. When Allah's command is this, and your family tells you something else, or society tells you, or the norm is, or this is how people operate in their businesses, but it goes against the teachings of Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that will decide what is more beloved to you. Otherwise, in principle, to have attachment and love for the things of this world, that is intrinsic to our nature. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا. So in the second juz, in the second chapter, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, Allah has made it obligatory upon you, إِذَا when حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ, that death approaches either of you, إِن تَرَكَ خَيْرًا, if you left behind wealth. الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ, that you have to make a bequest for your parents and your relatives. Of course, this was in the initial stages. Subsequently, the detailed explanation was given in chapter 4, juz 4 in Surah An-Nisa, about the whole breakdown regarding inheritance. And a person still has the allowance and the concession of making a bequest in one third of his wealth, according to the famous hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, which both Imam Bukhari and Muslim have recorded and captured, in which he says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to visit me Ama Hajjatil Wada, during the farewell Hajj of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I said to him, O Nabi of Allah, I am unwell, wa ana dhu malin, and I have wealth, وَلَا يَرِثُنِي إِلَّا بْنَتِي, and I only have one heir, and that is my daughter. Can I give all my wealth in charity? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. And then Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, can I then give charity of half my wealth? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. And then he said, okay, can I give charity of a third of my wealth? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الثلث والثلث كثير أو كبير على اختلاف الروايات. Okay, a third, yes, we can go with that, but actually a third also is a lot. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّكَ إِنْتَذَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا, إِنَّكَ إِنْتَذَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَنْ تَذَرَهُمْ عَالَهُ يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسُ, أو كما قال, it is better for you to leave your family members financially secured than to leave them dependent and destitute. In fact, Imam Bukhari has made this tarjumatul bab. Imam Bukhari has created this bab under this hadith. And with regards to the first verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at the time of death you need to make a bequest, so the ayah releases a hint that you can die leaving behind wealth, which means it's permissible to leave behind wealth. Under this, in Bayanul Quran, it is written, qala al-abdul dha'if, inna tarkal mal لا ينافي التقوى الكامل مع أداء حقوقه. That we learn from this year, to leave behind an estate and to leave behind wealth does not violate the station of nobility and piety, provided, of course, you offset the duties of this wealth. When Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik had asked Abu Hazim for advice, and amongst those advisors and that dialogue, which is a rich dialogue, he said, وَهَذَا الْمَالِ مَا السَّبِيلِ فِيهِ, and this wealth, what's the way, you know, how do we gain deliverance from it, that we're not implicated for it? And Abu Hazim said, إِذَا أَخَذْتُمُوهُ بِحَقِّهِ, when you take it lawfully and you dispense of it correctly, then there will be no implications upon you in this regard. So in Tanwirul Adhan, in the concluding part of this verse 44, this is what the author reminds us there, that the story tells us a great lesson, and that is, do not be blown away by the love of this world to the extent that it infringes and encroaches. You know what? Physical fitness is essential. But now your prayer time has been delayed. It's been compromised. Sometimes you read in Dhuhr early. Sometimes you read in late. Sometimes you're going for Fajr to the masjid. Sometimes you're not going to the masjid. Then that physical fitness has now become an obstacle because it is negatively impacting on your hours at the gym, on your hours with your personal trainer. So what good is there in gaining that physical fitness at the cost of compromising your spiritual essence? So the key thing is to find the correct balance, but priority needs to take, you know, precedence would go to our faith and our deen. We cannot tolerate any deficiency when it comes to the commandments of the Almighty. Wallahu khayrun thawaban wa khayrun uqba. Allah's reward is the best, and Allah is the best in the end. We move on to verse 45, which I just recited before you. So now it's a separate narrative, but it kind of continues with the same message and the theme, and that is this world is temporary, it's transitory, it's a passing phase, and the akhirah is the absolute, and it's real, and it's perfect, and it is tangible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ and narrate to them, مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, the example of this worldly life. كَمَا إِنْ, it is like water. Of course, the tashbih is just not the water. The similarity is with the entire analogy that has been provided in verse 45. كَمَا إِنْ, like water. أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, which we send down from the skies, from the clouds. كَمَا إِنْ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ. اِخْتَلَطَ يَخْتَلِطُ, اِخْتِلَاط means the mixture. Like mazaja means also mixture. They talk of mizaj, your temperament, your nature, the mixture of your body. So خَلَطَ يَخْلُطُ, to mix. وَآخَرُونَ اَعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. So the rain comes down, it mingles, it mixes with the herbs, with the plantation, with the vegetation, with the plants of the earth, etc. كَمَا إِنْ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. It mixes, and then with this combination of the correct seeds and the correct plantation and the irrigation of the land, and following by adequate rain and exposure to sun light and sun rays, etc. What happens? فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. And then it becomes green, it becomes lush, which is not mentioned in this ayah, but has been mentioned in other verses of the Quran. And of course, Al-Quran يُفَسِّرُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. One verse elaborates on another verse. Like in chapter, in Juz 11 in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا إِنْ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. And then comes out this produce, which humans consume and is fodder as well for the animals. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا. And then the earth takes its beauty and its splendor and its adornment and its embellishment. And then Allah says, we just turn it immediately. And this is the point being referenced here in verse 45. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا. Soon thereafter, after it been green and lush and striking. In fact, I have a flash of another verse in the 17th juz of the Quran in Surah Al-Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chapter 22. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ هَامِدَةً فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءِ. That when rain comes down on the earth, اِهْتَزَّتْ, it's almost like life was injected into this dead earth. What happens in autumn and in winter, when everything dries and withers and there's debris and there's dry stalk and it doesn't look appealing to the eye, and with the turn of season, when it is spring and everything blossoms and it's green and it flourishes and it looks appealing to the eye. أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُ. أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُ. pleasing to the eye of the disbeliever or the tiller. If you look into the linguistic meaning of it, and I don't want to go into the details of that, you look at that farm on the plantation and that orchard and that meadow and that pasture, it looks so beautiful, it's stunning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the example of this worldly life is that water came down, it mixed with the earth, it became green, it was in its youth, it was in its prime, it looks so lovely. But hang on, the season has to turn and the greenery has to go to dryness, and that blossoming starts withering and that brightness starts to become dull. And that's the same thing with this life on earth. For asbaha, it becomes hashima in bits and pieces, dry stalk. It's just debris, it's just fragmented, it's nothing so beautiful. So when it is spring and the orchard is beautiful and you can have a barbecue in your garden and it's such a serene environment, and then when it starts changing the seasons, those that have green fingers and then they do different measures to protect their plants during the harsh winter and during the icy weather, you know, when there's sleet around, etc. But you see how your entire garden gets transformed. I mean, I've visited Canada and America in both summer and winter. And you see, it's two different countries. In summer, it's green and lush and beautiful. And in winter, it's just covered in this blanket of snow, completely enveloped in this blanket of snow. And the same in parts of UK as well. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا, it becomes pieces, it becomes, you know what, debris, it becomes dry stalk. تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ, which the wind then just scatters, the wind just scatters, it's gone, it's just gone. There's no orchard, there's no garden, there's no beautiful place, there's nothing. And yet, just few, you know, months back, it was so beautiful and we had the best of afternoons and Sunday afternoon. Well, my brother, well, my sister, that is life on earth. Yesterday, you were young. You were in your prime. You had your clout and your muscle. You had your strength and your vigor. There was hair on your head. And if you went to the hair salon, and you know what? If he slipped up in a particular hairstyle, you got offended. You know why? My hair is my beauty. My hair is my pride. Or you went to the orthodontist to get your orthodontics in order because you needed that perfect smile. You needed to move your jaw. Or you went to the dermatologist because you couldn't live with that scar or that pigmentation or that acne on your face, etc. And then what happened, my brother? The season started changing and the hair started falling and the teeth started falling away. And now there were wrinkles and crinkles. And yesterday you look at an image of yourself running a marathon, or you look at something else, you know, some amazing feat you accomplish, and now you realize that now you are in that stage of hashima. You are no more green and lush, you are no more bright and colorful, you have now withered, you are now dry stalk, you have aged, you have become weak, frail, and senile. Medical science talks of gerontology. Where the entire body goes through the aging process and nature starts reclaiming all the faculties in installments. The vision went, the hearing went, the mobility went. La ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that this is the nature of this world. That it is like rain, it came down, the garden was beautiful, green, lush. And in the 27 Juz, the famous verse that we read so often, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. My word, you have to comprehend this directly. A verse of the 27 Juz. Again, elucidating, expounding on the same concept and the theory, the example of life on this earth. وَمَنْ صَحِبَ الدُّنْيَا طَوِيلًا تقلبت على عينيه حتى يرى صدقها كذبا. The one who lives long enough in this world, with the passage of time, he will realize what I considered to be a truth is nothing but a lie. What I considered to be a cure is venom and poison. اعلموا, know and understand, أنما الحياة الدنيا, that stay on this earth, life on this earth is لعبٌ. The first stage is a type of playfulness, لعبٌ. وَلَهْوٌ, and then it's entertainment, amusement. وَزِينَةٌ, and then it's a time of adornment. You in your teens, you in your adolescent, you pride yourself with the garb, with the dress, with the brand, with the appearance. It's all aesthetics and cosmetics. It's aesthetics and cosmetics. You know, it hurts me. Often we take our car for a car wash and you see others come. And then you see a young man would come there and you find these people that are washing this car, which is labor intense. And they're not earning the most, lucrative of salaries. It's not the most best of salaries. It is simple, basic, living hand to mouth. And you'll find this young man, because his car and his appearance is his pride, he will frustrate that poor person. No, no, there's a mark here on my tire. No, no, there's a mark here on, on my trunk. There's a mark here on the window. And I need a particular chemical. And I need you to clean this. So finicky, so particular, so meticulous. All you got to do is get on the road and then there's a lorry or a truck that comes behind you and there's a puddle of water and there the entire car is stained. Or Murphy's Law, clean your car and the same day it will rain. Or if that doesn't happen, how long are you going to live in that car? Or how long would that car be with you? Like, to what extent do you take pride? Do you realize that someone is toiling and working? Have you forgotten that, you know what? A time will come, this will be, so it's important. I'm not saying we all like to have a clean car, but don't impose on people. Don't make people's life difficult because of your personal pride over these petty things. So Allah says, وَزِينَةٌ. It's adornment. It's your dressing. It's your clothing. It's your brand. It's your appearance. All right? وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ. And then Allah moves on to the expression of tafakhur. Tafakhur in Arabic is from tafa'ul. And I've been saying this, tafa'ul creates or conveys the meaning of mutual. Tafakhurun baynakum wa takathurun fil amwali wal awlad. Then you into that phase of your life, it's all about mutual rivalry. I own this house. Where do you stay? Oh, well, I live here downtown London. How about you? No, I'm living in New York. How about you? Oh, I'm living, you know what, in Dubai. You, well, I live in the mother city in Cape Town. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرُ. And it is claiming more about your wealth and your children. So this is how life is. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ. Then Allah says, it is like rain that came down. أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُ. And then it mixed with the earth. And then came the produce. And then the tillage and the plantation and the produce was amazing. You see all these acres. You see all this plantation. You see all these trees. You see all this fruit. Yeah, this is mine. Now it's time to harvest. How beautiful. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ. And there's beauty when the animals spread out in the meadows, morning and evening. It's like how today you'll have a fleet of cars parked. It's almost like a showroom. His personal garage has like a showroom look to it. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ. But then comes the day that the Quran says, ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًا. Then it starts drying up. It starts drying up. The aches and the pains. A little pain in the back. A little pain on your shoulders. Or there's a cramp in your leg. What they say, when are you old? For every day out, you need one day in. Then you know you've aged. Yesterday we went shopping. Oh no, today I just need to be in. Oh, I need to relax. I had a long day. Now you're realizing the body cannot keep up. The body cannot keep up. Your body is talking to you. In health, what do they say? Right? Listen to your body. Your body tells you everything. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ هَاجَ يَهِيجُ. It dries up. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًا. And then you will see that which was green is now yellow. I gave you the analogy with humans. He had this perfect smile. He had this perfect jaw. Now there's no jaw, there's no smile, there's no teeth. There's no hands, there's no vision, there's no urine. And then what does Allah say? فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. And then it becomes this dry stalk or debris or rubble or fragmented pieces. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. And this is only in this world. In Akhirah, it is followed by a severe torment or great pardon. Great pardon, depending which category you go to. May Allah make us from amongst those who are deserving of the pardon of Allah. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And this world is nothing but merchandise of deception. I said the other day to someone, the more you grow and mature and evolve, the deeper you realize this statement of the Quran, that the creator and the designer and the manufacturer of this world says, it is mata'ul ghurur, it is a deception, it is a deception. One of my scholars used to say, it's like a person, male or female, he or she has dolled themselves up. You know what? With the greatest amount of beauty, dolling, makeup artists, looking young, assuming to be young. But as you get close and you see all that makeup disappears and all that foundation is gone and all that superficial additional things that are put on, you realize, hang on, he's not a young man. She's not a young person. This was a superficial cover on them. It took time for me to get up closer and realize this was an optical illusion. So, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا. Verse 45, Allah says He has power over everything. Power over everything, He can create it, right? الْإِنْشَاءُ وَالْإِبْقَاءُ, that He can create it, He can preserve it, and أَفْنَى يُفْنِي إِفْنَى وَالْإِفْنَى, He can destroy it. So He can make that garden, and He can make it so beautiful, and He can keep it beautiful, and then He can destroy it. He has power over everything. He can give you your youth, He can preserve your youth, and you can foolishly think you'll be young forever, and that's a deception, and you got it, and it's going, no, no, how old are you? You are as young as you want to be. Okay, great, great. But at some point, that old age has to start making its presence. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. Allah has power over everything. Now, what should you be focusing on? And we just do a brief translation of the next verse. That's verse 46. And we will elaborate on it, inshallah, in the next episode. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Allah says this whole world is transitory. So when this world is transitory, then obviously the items and the objects of this world are just so transitory, if not more perishable. And part of the things of this world which humans tend to pride themselves with is wealth and children. Oh, that's my son, that's my boy, that's my children, that's my descendant, that's my offspring. Yeah, he's got a degree in this year. Oh, he's the dean of the faculty. He's the head surgeon here. Oh, really? You heard of him? Absolutely, that's my boy. Oh, my wealth. I diversify my investments. I have offshore investments, local investments, abroad. I've invested in the market, in the shares, in property, in real estate, in the business. Oh, well, I've got it all covered. Al-malu wal-banun, al-mal, wealth, wal-banun, sons, zinatul hayati dunya, are nothing but the adornment of this world. Wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amala. And everlasting good deeds, al-baqiyatu salihat, everlasting good deeds, khayrun inda rabbik, khayrun in mubalagha, comes here for mubalagha, is better in the eyes of your Lord, meaning in akhirah, thawaba as far as reward is concerned, wa khayrun amala, and is better in terms of hope. In other words, the hopes you invest in good deeds will deliver in what your hopes are. I obeyed Allah and I recited Suratul Mulk, it will certainly rescue you in the grave. I recited Suratul Waqi'ah, it will certainly protect you from poverty. I invested in the obedience of my Creator, I seen the goodness of it. I obeyed my parents, I seen prosperity in my life. So that's the message. the things of this world, as necessary as they are, it is a deception and a delusion. And don't invest your hopes in it, because they won't deliver to you in this world, and there's no hope in Akhirah. But invest with Allah and invest in good deeds, and it will give you definite returns in this world and the latter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.